One second, let me just. Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. Can you all hear me? Can people hear me? Okay. I want to first of all say hi, everyone. Really great to see everybody here. And what we're going to do today is try to start looking at the topic of chipazon, the topic of speed of redemption. And maybe this will seem a slightly strange way to get into the topic, but we will hopefully presently just see how central this idea is. So let's dive right in. And we're going to be looking at, if we look at the first source, matzah zu shanu ochlim al shulma. This matzah that we eat, what's it for? Al shum shelo hispik b'tzeikam shel avoteinu l'achmitz, ad shenigla aleihem melech malchei ha'malachim ha'kadosh baruch hu ga'olam. The bread of our forefathers, or maybe better put, the dough of our forefathers, didn't have time to rise until Hashem, Melech Malchei HaMelachim, revealed himself to them and redeemed them. As it says, V'yafot ha-batzek asher yotzu mi-Mitzrayim ugot matzok ki lo chametz, ki gershu Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu li-ma'amea, v'gam seida lo asu lahem. They baked the dough they took out of Egypt as matzah cakes, but not chametz, because they were expelled from Egypt and they couldn't delay, and they had also not prepared food for themselves. Okay, now, this is a really interesting situation. Apparently, matzah is the first, what we call, fast food. If I can borrow a marketing phrase from Rav Menachem Liebtag. And we came out in such a hurry that the bread didn't have time to rise. But 1 minute. This is very strange, because if I ask all of you, and you know, they all know the answer to this question, when you make matzah, and from the moment that the water hits the flour, how long do we all have, right? How long does it you have to have? 18 minutes, right? We all know that. Are you telling me that they didn't have 18 minutes from the time that they, you know, they didn't have 18 minutes? They couldn't delay even 18 minutes? In other words, the dough must have become chametz. What's going on here, right? Really, the bread didn't have time to rise. Like, what? They came out of Egypt in less than 18 minutes. So first of all, that's one bizarre thing. The second problem with this is, if you look at source number two, because in source number two, what does it say there? V'achlu et ha-basar b'layla hazeh, tzli eish u'matzot al merorim yochlu. We don't only eat matzah because we came out so quick. Even the previous night, we ate matzah. The night before we left, we ate the basar of the Korban Pesach, tzli eish, roasted, or matzot, al merorim yochlu. We were already eating matzot before we came out. So there's something here about the speed. It's not just that matzah is apparently because we came out so quickly. We were already eating matzah before we came out. You know what? Maybe I'll say this even more. If you look at the bottom of the page, source number four, where you'll see it talks about. Oh, sorry. Let's go back to source number two. Sorry, one more thing. Number two, source number two, pasuk yud aleph. V'kacha tochlu oto motnechem chagurim na'alechem baragleichem u'makelchem biedchem v'achaltem oto b'chipazon pesachu l'Hashem. And this is how you should eat the Korban Pesach. You should have your matnechem chagurim, your belt on, ready to go, your shoes on your feet. You should have your staff in your hand and eat it in haste, hurriedly. It's a Pesach Hu Lashem. In other words, it's not only, they were already told before they went out there was going to be a hurried affair. They were told before they went out, v'achaltem oto b'chipazon, eat it quickly. Right? This has to be rushed. In other words, the rushing, how should I say it? The rushing, the speed is by design. It's not by default. It wasn't an accident. It was the way it was meant to be. And if that's true, so what is the role of chipazon? What is the role of this speed? Because it's apparently very, very much part of the plan. By the way, the last piece, just to establish this notion of speed as being a very central theme, is take a look at source number 4. Okay? Motnechem chagurim mezumanim laderech, says Rashi. V'achaltim esol b'chipazon. And here we're going to add another feature. Chipazon, says Rashi, doesn't only mean speed. He says here, lashon behala u'mehirut. It's not only speed, it is a sense of panic. Behala, it means a sense of being, you know, in a state of disarray. Kamo vahi David nechbaz lalechet. David had to run, and he's running away from Shaul. He had to escape. In other words, we have to escape. And Asher Shlichu Aram b'chofzam, if you know the story there in Malachim, that's talking about when Aram hear the sounds of war and they decide to run away. There's a sense of panic, a sense of disarray, but also a sense of speed. And you know, I'll finish this introductory notion of speed with the last bit of Rashi. Pesach ul Hashem, hakorban karoy Pesach al shem hadilug. Why? What does the word Pesach mean? So Pesach means, literally as we say in English, to pass over. Except clearly Passover was done by a very, whoever translated it that way, was very anglicized and very, very sedate. Yes, sedate, that's the word I'm looking for. What I mean by that is, right, look at how Rashi says, Har korban kaloi Pesach al shem hadilug va'psicha. It's basically about the notion of leaping, right, leapfrogging. And psichan, jumping, Shakodesh Baruch Hu medaleg batei Yisrael, God jumps over batei Yisrael, mibein batei Mitzrim, the kofetz, right? He's jumping, mi Mitzri na Mitzri. In other words, he's playing leapfrog with the Jewish houses, right? And jumping onto the Egyptian houses. And I think I read it once in the writings of Dr. Aviva Zarenberg, who said, you can't jump slowly, right? You can't. You know, if you're kofet, you can't jump slowly. You can't skip like medaleg, dilug. Dilug means skipping, leapfrogging. You need to take a run up. You need to, in other words, Pesach indicates speed. The matzah is about the speed. They're told to eat it quickly. They're, and this is not, again, not by default. It's not they happen to come out, the bread happen to not have time to rise. They were told already the night before, eat this flat bread. So I want to try and investigate what is happening with this notion of the speed. Why is matzah this fast food? What is this notion of the chipazon of Mitzrayim? So that's stage one, making the case that that the exodus from Egypt is really a hurried affair. And this is a sort of a central motif. So how are we going to explain it? I'd like to give maybe three or four lenses to understand it, three or four perspectives. The first one you will see in source number 3 here, the Ibn Ezra, where the Ibn Ezra tries to explain what's going on and why it is that we are in such a hurry. And he says it's almost, it's functional. What do I mean by that? Let's take a look at source number 3. He says, but if you go from in the Hebrew, it's from the bolded bit, the tam b'chipazon shelo yitakvu, that they shouldn't get stuck behind. V'yumaharu lochlo lifnei bo rega hamashchit, because they need to eat the korban Pesach before the moment when the forces of destruction come. Shivsach hashla petach. And that is why they were told to barbecue the meat, to roast the meat, because that's the quickest way for it to cook. So what's happening here? Apparently, the reason why we have to eat so quickly, according to Ibn Ezra, is we have to eat the Korban Pesach, and we have to do our Cholot before the midnight hour. We know that we were told to paint the doorpost with the blood of the Korban Pesach. But apparently, according to the Ibn Ezra, at any rate, it's not just the doorpost that we have to paint. but we have to actually undergo our religious obligations. You know, Chazal say that in order to be Zochet Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we had to do Dam Mila and Dam Pesach. You know, in Rav Soloveitchik's called Ori Dofek, right, the covenant of fate, covenant of destiny. Dam Pesach, Dam Mila. And therefore, we have to have eaten the Pesach before we leave. So Tam Bechipazon, because what will happen? You know, some families will start a little bit late. So they'll be, you know, spending their time. People will say, oh, I want to pack first and then I want to eat. Right, so in order that we should, v'tam b'chipazon, says the Ibn Ezra, sheloi takfu, don't mess around. V'yomaru loch, make sure you eat it, lochlo, lifnei borega mashrit, before the midnight hour, the hour of destruction. Shiv sach Hashem ala petach, make sure not only have you put the blood on the doorpost, but you've eaten the korban pesach, and that's why b'chipazon, don't dilly-dally, don't mess around. So according to Ibn Ezra, it's very functional. Chipazon isn't a sort of like ideological motif, but chipazon rather is something that we do in order to ensure that everything is in order, we've fulfilled our religious obligations, and that Hashem will indeed protect us rather than destroy us. And interestingly here, then, the chipazon is directed to Hashem. So that's view number one. It's functional. And it's there in order to ensure that we do our religious obligations. But now I'm going to switch to page two. And we are going to look at the Tzidkat HaTzadik, a very beautiful text by Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin. And this is actually, interestingly enough, Simon Aleph of the Tzidkat HaTzadik. And this is what he says. He's going to take the notion of chipazon, the notion of speed, and essentially, you know, I'll say it and then we'll read it. He's going to say that the notion of speed is not so much the speed, but it's a matter of, I said before that you've got to sort of take a run-up in order to get a certain amount of, velocity in order, like a plane needs to go on, you know, build up speed on the runway in order to take off. He says, we indeed need to build up a lot of energy in order to free ourselves from our routine. Let's read what he says. Reishit knisat ha'adam la'avodat Hashem tzarich liot b'chipazon. The first thing when you want to start serving God, it needs to be hurried. K'mo shematzinu b'pesach Mitzrayim. Like we found in Egypt, shaya ne'echal b'chipazon v'lo b'pesach dorot. He says, in all subsequent Pesachs, how do we eat? We eat leaning, reclining, b'nei chorin. We don't eat in a hurry. Why that year did we have to eat in a hurry? Because, you know, if you want to get up for shachrit, what do you have to do? You have to jump out of bed. You can't just assume that you'll sort of take it easy. You'll never get out of bed. You have to jump out of bed. You know, it's always difficult to get out from under the comforter, from under the quilt. We're sort of cozy and warm, and how many times do we press the snooze button? But if we press the snooze button, we'll miss Yetziat Mitzrayim. So he says, this is true about anything in Avodah Hashem. Let's say, I mean, we all know this, right? You want to start exercising. So it's difficult. Who can be bothered? But you need to push yourself and to really do it. So he says, anything in Avodah Hashem, if I want to start doing Mishnah Yomi, if I want to start, you know, being makpid about something that I hadn't been makpid about before, how am I going to do that? I have to do it b'chipazon. And he's going to explain why. So again, Reishit knisat ha'adam la'avodat Hashem tzarich liot b'chipazon. When you start serving God or doing something in the service of God, it has to be rushed with a certain amount of propulsion. K'mo shematzinu b'pesach Mitzrayim, that's exactly what we did in Egypt, which was eaten in a hurry, unlike Pesach Dorot. Why? And here he explains the critical thing. When we begin something, we have to, we have to pull ourselves away from all of the comforts of the world, the tavot ha'olam, shumukushar behem. In other words, there's a certain inertia. You need a certain startup energy. Tzarich lishmor harega. You have to seize the moment, or carpe diem, seize the day. Right? Lishmor harega shimitore baratzon. The minute you feel the impetus, seize it. And to run with that energy, lemaher, quickly, latzeit mehem, and do it. right? Nike, just do it. Ula yuchal, maybe you'll succeed. And then take it slowly. Ula at kadim pesach dorot. In other words, a person wants to make a change, make that change. And then once you've already taken the leap, you can take it slow. Now, by the way, he's saying that as sort of a model. He's saying Pesach Mitzrayim becomes the paradigm, and this applies to all areas of Avodah Hashem. But I want to say something about the moment of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Maybe I'll share with you a family story, right? My family, before the Second World War, lived in Frankfurt am Main in Germany. They'd lived there for several generations. And it was before, you know, it was during Nazi Germany, 1938. In fact, you know, my family was still in Nazi Germany for Kristallnacht. Even my great-grandfather had been sent to Dachau, and they actually complained, and he actually got out. And the day they got out, they managed to send him out of the country. And that night, the SS came looking for him. My grandfather was out of work, and he came to England to look for a job. But in England, there was also a recession, a depression. And therefore, he sent a message home. I'm talking about January 1939. January 1939. He sends a message home. I'm from London to Frankfurt. I can't find work. I'm coming home. Coming home. And his family sent him back a telegram to London. Don't come. We got exit visas. We'll meet you in Switzerland. And that's the reason I'm here today. Because all the rest of the family were murdered in the Shoah, and my family survived because he didn't go home. Because that moment they got exit visas, they left. I'll put it very simply. What is the chipazon? The chipazon means you get a chance to leave, you've got a window of opportunity, leave now. You never know when that window will close. You never know when the window will close. This is true about so many situations. It's not only true about the Second World War, it's true about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Right? And then just a few minutes later, that Paro hears, Ki Barach Ha'am, and he starts chasing them down. Why does it have to be B'chipazon? You know why? Because it's very difficult to leave Egypt. I go back to the Tzidkan HaTzadik, right? You have to break your ties of worldly desire. Hatchala natek atzmo mikol tavot olam. My grandfather, lived his entire life in England after the Second World War as an immigrant. He always had a strange accent and he never had a particularly good job after he came. He was always sort of one of those sort of like not particularly successful immigrants. And I remember one, I think it was his 70th birthday, my parents and all the brothers and sisters bought him a book about the Frankfurt community. It was like a very expensive book about the Kihila. And I remember when he picked up the book, he had tears in his eyes. And I was a little boy and I said to him, Opa, I said, why are you crying? Are you crying because the Nazis killed your father? A very undiplomatic thing to say, but which a six-year-old can say, or a 7 or 8-year-old, I don't know how old I was. And you know what he said to me? He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he says, no, that's not why I'm crying. I'm crying because it was so good there. Germany was always the place where he was successful. England was always the place where he was an immigrant, and he had a hard life. Tzarich, you need chipazon. He would have gone home. How am I still alive today? Because hatchala lenatek atzmo mikol tavot olam. And that is the pshat of chipazon. Why is the motif of Yetziat Mitzrayim speed? Get out now, because tomorrow you might not get a visa. Tomorrow you might not be able to get out. So now, are you willing to leave Mitzrayim? And that was a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do, because however much the Egyptians enslave you, Egypt is home. And you know how I know that? Because all the way through the Midbar, they say, we are Zacharno to the Gash, Anachal Mitzrayim Chinam. Let's go back to Egypt. Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayima. They want to go back to Egypt. Why? Egypt was so good. Egypt was home. It's the familiar. In Egypt, we didn't have funny accents. Everywhere else in the world, we're going to have a funny accent. I'm always going to be the guy with an accent who doesn't quite get it. I say that as an ole. Okay, so the first, if you want, the Ibn Ezra said it's functional, it's for God. Here, this is not for God, this is for Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael need the chipazon. When we eat our matzah, what's our mindset? We're thinking fast food. You know why? Because we need to get out fast. Because everything, the theme of the evening is get out, get out, get out. Because if you stay there one extra moment, if you stay there, you'll just go back under the quilt. Because ultimately, whatever they do to you, Egypt's home. Okay. So this is kind of tzaddik. I think there's some powerful stuff there. I think there's powerful stuff about, and if you want to take it in a broader sense, in terms of Avodah Hashem, we all find change difficult. We've grown up a certain way. Sometimes in our minds, we realize we should be possibly living life a little differently, right? We should be living life maybe in a different place. But you know what? Our upbringing is so familiar. Our familiar is so comfortable. To make changes is hard. Says the Kara Tzadik, Chipazon. That's the only way forward. Okay, that's explanation number two. Explanation number three, I want to explain with the help of reading through the Perek, source number six here, chapter 12 in Shemot. And then we're going to look at a beautiful Sfat Emet. So here's the second theme, the third theme of Chipazon. And I want to ask the question, which I asked before. Really? The bread didn't have time to rise? What do you mean the bread didn't have time to rise? They spent a whole day on the journey. Why didn't the bread rise? So let's try and understand. And the real question is going to be, when did the bread not rise? I'll try and explain. So let's put ourselves in the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Egypt. And let's understand, what were the people expecting and what happened? Source number six. Here's Moshe's instruction to the people. Olakachtem agudat ezov, utvaltem b'dam hashem asaf, v'igaltem ala mashkot al shtei hamzot min adam hashem asaf. So you've got to paint the doorpost with the blood. Here's the critical thing. V'atem lo teitzu ish mi petach beito ad boker. Bit like corona, right? Don't leave your house. Don't leave your house till the morning. Stay in all night. There's danger lurking in the street. When are they allowed to leave their houses? In the morning. In other words, everybody expects to be at home packing till what time? 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, 6 a.m., 7 a.m. They're expecting to open their front doors. It's light and they will leave. They've got all night to get ready. In other words, they're probably eating the Korban Pesach till midnight, but from midnight till 6 a.m., that's when everybody gets a chance to pack. That's when somebody decides to make the sandwiches and all of that. Okay, got it? Good. Pasuk Chavtet. Vayi b'chatzi alayla, at midnight, v'Hashem yikachor b'chor b'hetz Mitzrayim, b'chor paro yoshev al kisar b'chor ha-shvi. So Hashem does mak up b'chorot. Pasuk Lamed. V'yakam paro layla hu v'chol avadav b'chol Mitzrayim. So Paro, it's amazing actually. Paro went to sleep. Paro was asleep. I don't know. He clearly, I don't know. I won't dwell on that. Hashem, Paro gets up and it says, there was a tzaka gdola. There was a scream throughout Egypt. Can you imagine? So, I don't know, dramatic. In every household, somebody was dead. So I'm thinking, 12 o'clock, the midnight strikes, but Paro's still asleep and people die. It takes a few minutes for people to realize that people are dead. I don't know, 12:15 Paro gets up, 12:30 he gets up. He summons Moshe and Aaron. Well, they obviously weren't there, so I don't know, what time did Moshe and Aaron come? At 1:30 a.m., and he gives them their expulsion orders. Kumu tzu'u mitoch ami. Pasuk lamed aleph. Gam atem gam b'nei Yisrael ulechu evdiur Hashem kedaberchem. So what time do they leave the palace? 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m.? But look what happens now. Pasuk lamed gimel. V'techezak mitraim ala am lemaher l'sholcham min ha'aretz ki amru kulanu meitim. So the Egyptians come, and they push the Jews out of Egypt. In other words, everybody's still packing. It's 3 a.m., it's 4 a.m., it's 5 a.m. Everybody thinks they've still got time. And they hear a knock on the door. And now get out. The Egyptians are saying, leave. Oh, boy. Now, the thing was that everybody knew they were going on a long journey, a three-day journey. So everybody had dough, which was sitting there, and they were going to put it in the oven. Right? Where do you make bread? In an oven. So the bread was still rising, and I don't know, at 4 a.m., at 5 a.m., the mother of the family was going to put it in and make 5, 6, 7, 8 loaves of bread. Correct? Oh, I have to add, they had a mitzvah Korban Pesach, but they had no mitzvah chametz that year. They had to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah, but in Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Isser Chametz. No Isser Chametz whatsoever. So look what happens. Pasuk Lamad Gimel Lamad Dalad. Vatechezat Mitzrayim al Am l'maher l'shalcham min ha'aretz ki amru kulanu meitim. Mitzrayim are knocking down the doors. Get out, Jews, get out. Pasuk Lamad Dalad. And here's the pasuk, which I think is very widely misunderstood. Vayisa amet betzeko b'terem yechmatz. People took their batzek before it had risen. Terem yechmatz, it wasn't yet chametz. Misharotam shorot b'simrotam al shichmam. In other words, people grabbed their dough, which hadn't risen yet. What do you mean? When didn't it have time to rise? In the night. Because they were expecting to bake it at dawn and then to leave with fresh bread. In other words, am I making sense here? The bread hadn't risen when? Not as they were coming out. The bread hadn't risen in Egypt. And now look what it says. Lamad Zayin. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miramsei sukkota kashesh miot elef raglei akvarim levam meitaf. Vayofu et abatzek asher yotzu Mitzrayim ugot matzok ki lo chametz ki gorshu Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu et mamea v'gam seida lo asu lehem. Let's pay attention to this pasuk, which is the proof text for matzah. They baked the batzek, which they took out of Egypt, the dough, into ugot matzot, to matzah cakes, which is, as far as we're concerned, it's pita, right? Pita. Ki lo chametz ulafa. Ki lo chametz. They couldn't bake it as bread. Now, why couldn't they bake it as bread? Is it because it didn't rise? No. You know why it is? Because you can only bake bread in an oven, and they didn't have ovens because they were already in Sukkot. What did they have? They had a sarge. A sarge is like a metal plate. You put light a few twigs under it. It gets very hot. Have you seen people make pitot before? Pitots, you know, whenever you go to an archaeological site in Israel, you go to Susia, you go to Shiloh, whatever. Over Chol HaMoed, they always have these things, not on Pesach, but, you know, Sukkot. They have these pita making for kids, right? And they'll have this big metal sort of dome-like thing, and you roll out your dough, and then you slap it on, and within about literally 2 minutes, you've got pita, you've got lafa. So what does it mean? They had expected to make proper bread in Mitzrayim, in their ovens. But they left before they had a chance to bake. Because they expected to leave at 6, 7 a.m., but they actually left at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., right? Now, how are they going to bake their bread? They're going to bake their bread on a sarge, on one of these things, as pita instead of as bread. And, you know, the kids are saying, oh, why don't we have bread? We didn't want pita, we wanted bread. So again, they baked their dough, they made them as flat bread, and not big fluffy bread. We'll come back to that. Why? Kigarshu mimitzrayim, because they were thrown out. They were expelled. V'lo yachlu me'amea. And they couldn't wait. In other words, they couldn't wait till what? Till the bread rose in Egypt, until they baked it in an oven. V'gam seida lo asu lahem. That's the phrase. And they hadn't prepared any other provisions. This was the bread they thought that would rise and they'd make it into proper bread. So in other words, what is the symbol of the matzah? It's not only about the speed, it's about something more precise than that. Matzah is the symbol, not just of a fast redemption, but I'm going to say it this way, a premature redemption. Matzah is the symbol, not only of a speedy redemption, but it's a redemption that I'm not quite ready for, that I haven't quite planned for, that has happened sooner than I thought, and I'm not ready. Now, by the way, we could make an argument that we're never ready, but you get my point. According to this, it's not that we came out so fast that the bread didn't rise. The bread was not risen. Of course, it spent a whole day in their backpack. It could have risen, but they couldn't bake it as bread because they had to bake it on the road. But the point was that they left before they anticipated it. they left prematurely. Now, why would this be an important point? Why is it important that their Yetziat Mitzrayim is premature? And here I want to turn to, on page 3, you see it on your screen, to the Sfat Emet. Okay? And here you see the Sfat Emet, and let's see what it says. The Sfat Emet is going to be looking at the beginning of Parshat Bishalach. If you remember, Bishalach, Vahi Bishalach Parat Am, they're leaving, and then Hashem says to them, Daber b'nei Israel v'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei piach yirot b'midol v'nayam. They turn around. And in fact, so much so that Paro says, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sagar alehem amidbar. They're confused, they're lost. Okay? So what happens is they're going, let's say, in an easterly direction towards Eretz Israel, and then they turn back west. Why do they turn back? The Sfat Emet, let's read a bit of the Sfat Emet, and then I'll try and explain it. Daber b'nei Israel v'yashuvu. Source number 7, the Sfat Emet. La'asher yatzu b'nei Israel b'chipazom b'mitzrayim v'yashelo b'hadraga. Because Am Yisrael left Egypt in a hurry, it was not a gradual process. Lo b'hadraga. It was a leap. It was a quantum leap. It was not a gradual step-by-step process. And anything that is so radical of change, ein zeh davar shel kayama, when you make such radical change, shelo b'hadraga, without intermediate steps, but you make a leap, a quantum, it is not stable. That's the best way I can put it. It is not stable. It's ruchu lashuv. Therefore, they needed to return. A bit confusing. So let's look at the next passage. The Sfat Emet frequently says something, and then in the next year, he explains it better. So let's see what he says the following year. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yashuvu. Yesh tomar tam einyan sheyetzia Mitzrayim hu neis shelo b'hadraga. Yetziat Mitzrayim is a miracle which has no intermediary steps. It's sort of catapulting you from slavery to freedom in one moment. V'hila sha'ah. And therefore it is temporary. V'ratzah Hashem Yitbarach she'er gula zu ba'atzmut Yisrael. But God wanted this to be something which would be permanent. I'm going to miss out the next two lines. U'lekach tziva she'yachzeru v'yalu me'atzmutam. And therefore he commanded that they would ascend on their own. Olekach vayitzaku, and that's why they cried. Olechora macha sheraun iflot she'ein lahem shior. They saw such wonders in Egypt. Lama yirah? Why were they afraid of the Egyptians? Ach, ki yadu she'ata tzrichim ligbor me'atzmam. They realized that now they had to make the change. They had to put in the effort. V'zesha amashu nutunim b'din. Okay, fine. Let me try and explain. In the process of Yetziat Mitzrayim, were Am Yisrael active? Did Am Yisrael play an active role? Did they do anything really? Not really. Hashem did all the heavy lifting. Hashem did 10 plagues, and Am Yisrael stood by. Maybe they sort of laughed a little bit at the Egyptians, but Am Yisrael didn't undergo any process of change. Let's put it this way. Anytime somebody makes a major change, you know, sometimes people talk about Israel, people flipping out. Somebody flips out. What's so bad about flipping out? The reality is somebody flips out, they'll flip back. Why? Because it is a miracle, shelo b'hadraga. A person who makes gradual change. I used to always like it. I was an educator in Bnei Akiva. One of the things I loved about people who actually became more religious through Bnei Akiva was it was a process that happened over 10 years. No, there was no flipping. There was slowly a person started going to Bnei Akiva. They started singing Jewish songs. They started doing more. Then they started coming on Shabbat. Then they started keeping a bit of Shabbat. Then they started davening. Then they spent a year in Israel. Then they started learning. Why is it stable? Because the person was undergoing a gradual, slow change. Radical change is always unstable. And the worry about radical change is, you know, this is true about revolutions, that you make such a big leap, but nobody's quite there because you've made a very radical change. You haven't, it's not incremental. It's something that you've done and sort of like, you remember the cartoons where you have, I don't know, whoever it is, running off the cliff, and they're off the cliff and they haven't even realized. They look around for about 3 seconds and then they drop. They haven't realized they're off the cliff, right? You don't realize where you are. In other words, we have a situation whereby Am Yisrael, by the way, what Sfat Emet is saying is that Am Yisrael come out of Egypt. They're physically out of Egypt, but they're not really there. Hashem's done all the work. So now they have to go back so that slowly they'll now take themselves out of Egypt. They will, In other words, Hashem brought them out of Egypt, but they weren't out of Egypt. Now Hashem, v'yashuvu, why? So that you can start going through the process of coming out of Egypt. By the way, this is saying something very interesting, which is that Egypt is coming out of Egypt is such a radical change that Bnei Israel sort of haven't undergone the change, and it's almost bound to be traumatic. We have to come out quickly because otherwise we won't come out. That was the Rav Tzadok. But when we come out so radically, Bnei Israel haven't really undergone a transformation. And that's why the first generation, basically, it's a train crash. The first generation can't cope with the pressures of freedom. They get frayed from all different things. They get afraid at the Yam Suf. They get afraid with the Meraglim. And the ironic thing is that it's their children who go in, because it takes a generation to make the transition from slavery to freedom. It takes a whole generation. In other words, there's sort of a paradox. We come out of Egypt, but we're not quite ready for it. And we need to start now freeing ourselves. And that takes a lot longer, right? Now, according to what I'm saying, there's something about, I'll go back to my explanation of the matzah. The matzah is about, not just about speed, it's about being premature. In other words, there's something about Yitzhak Mitzrayim which is amazing. It was sudden. It was incredible. It was a quantum leap, but we got somehow left behind because we hadn't done the change. Hashem had made the change for us, but where were we in that whole process? Okay? And that is the challenge. Maybe if I can give if I gave an example before from my family leaving Germany, in order to explain this, I'll maybe give you another interesting contemporary example. Many years ago, I mean, you've all heard about the successes and failures of the Israeli waves of Aliyah. There was, of course, the Sephardic Aliyah in the 1950s, which had its problems and its sort of social fallout, and the Russian Aliyah in the 90s. And when the Ethiopians came also in the 80s, 90s, Israel said to itself, you know, we're not going to make the same mistakes we made with the Moroccans and the Iraqis and what have you. We're going to do it better this time. And you know what? It didn't work. It was still a problematic Aliyah, and there are lots of social problems to this day with Ethiopians. I know that because my daughter actually did share it with me with Ethiopians. I once met somebody who ran a Merkaz Klita, a absorption center for Ethiopians. And I said to him, couldn't we have done better? Couldn't we have succeeded and learned from our mistakes? Do we never learn from our mistakes? And he said to me, Alex, you don't understand. And I said, what don't I understand? And he said to me, you cannot take somebody from a third world country, from a hut in Africa, and expect them to change in one second and to be successful in a modern Western state. He says, this is what happens. You bring people on a plane and they come out of Africa, they come out of Ethiopia, and they can't speak the language and they're not modern, they've got no education. And their kids within half a year are speaking Hebrew and the parents still can't speak the language and they can't read. So the kids start taking the parents around the supermarket. And then the parents want to instruct the children in their tradition. The kids turn around and say, well, your tradition's rubbish. Your tradition's nothing. I'm the one who guides you around the supermarket. Who are you to tell me not to go out on a Friday night? And they start disdaining their culture and they start not listening to their parents, and their parents don't have any power. And anyway, the kid will say to their parent, well, you're just a janitor. You're just a cleaner in the school. And I'm going to be a lawyer and I'm going to be a doctor. In other words, the fallout between the generations is endemic. It's part of the process. You can take somebody out of Ethiopia, but they can't. Frequently, by the way, they can't make the jump. Their children will. I can make Aliyah, but my children will be the ones who are truly Israeli. Okay. So, what I'm saying is, there's something about Yitzhak Mitzrayim which is not just its speed, not just its chipazon, but the chipazon points to something deeper than that. And that is the prematureness of the Exodus, the sense of the rawness of it all. And this is indeed what the Sfat Emet is saying here, that we had to ligbar ba'atzmeinu. The challenge of Yitzhak Mitzrayim was not only for God to bring us out, but for us in order to make our way out ourselves. And this brings me to my last approach, which is a very beautiful approach, which I hope will also put the Omer in a slightly new light. And this is the approach of Rav Yoel ben Nun in this wonderful article. You can look it up, Chametz and Matzah on Pesach Shavuot and the Bread Offerings. Rav'yol ben Nun is going to say something great. He says, we've got chametz and we've got matzah. We've got matzah and chametz. He says, well, let's imagine this, right? Don't look at matzah so much as dough which hasn't risen. Let's look at it this way. How am I going to say this? Okay, we all know the symbol of Pesach is matzah. But let's look at it this way. Good way to say this. If you have a dough, what does every aspiring dough want to become? Would a dough like to become matzah? Or would a dough like to become big, high, fluffy bread? If I were a dough, I would want to become big, fluffy bread with volume and height. And you could even look at it this way. Imagine one of those freeze frame movies. Watch the dough, right, rise. And we have a freeze frame of the first bit of the dough, and we call that matzah. And after 7 weeks, it becomes bread. And you'll probably know that on Shavuot, we brought to the Beit HaMikdash Shtei HaLechem. In other words, we could look at the whole Omer, the 7 weeks from Yitziat Mitzrayim to Shavuot, as a process of leavening, a process of rising, a process whereby we grow. Okay? We grow. By the way, of course we do. If you look at the stories from Yitziat Mitzrayim all the way to Har Sinai, we're developing the whole time. Just to give you one classic example, in our first war at the Yam Suf, we all panicked and we didn't know what to do. In the last war with Amalek, we won the war. We went to war. Moshe held up his hands and the people had faith. But the people fought. The people weren't intimidated. Just a few weeks and they already had the confidence to fight back. So Am Yisrael is growing. They're growing in their mitzvahs. They're growing in their faith. They're growing in their... They really are. They're becoming something. So here's the very interesting thing. Well, maybe I'll... So in other words, matzah... Well, you know what? Let's read it from Rav'yol ben Nun, source number 8. It's on your screen. He says the following. Leaven, chametz, represents the final goal to which the farmer aspires from the start of his work. Bread, which is chametz, expresses the end of the successful process, the longed for end result, the realization of that which he visualized at the start and which he pursued until he achieved it. That's chametz. Matzah, in contrast, represents a station in mid-process before the end result is achieved. In other words, it isn't flour, right? We actually start the Omer by being a korban Omer, which is literally flour. It's not flour. The flour's already been mixed with the water. The water's already formed a dough. We've already baked it. But it's a station in mid-process before the end result is achieved. It represents a deficiency that is waiting for completion. What Rav'yol ben Nun wants to say is that we go from the minute we get out of Egypt. What do we start doing? The very next day, we start counting the Omer. We start counting up. We start watching the bread rise metaphorically. You know what? The best comment that Rav Yoel ben Nun says, and listen carefully to the way I'm going to say it, I hope I get it right, is Rav Yoel ben Nun speaks about Yom HaAtzma'ut. And he says the following. He says, anybody who doesn't say Hallel on Yom HaAtzma'ut, it is if they did not eat matzah on Pesach. But, he says, if you think Medinat Yisrael, as it is at the moment, is the thing that we've waited for, he says, that's as if you ate chametz on Pesach. Think about that. What's he trying to say? He says, why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because we're redeemed. Hooray, we're free. But we're still at the beginning of a process. And that's why we eat matzah. It's not enough just to be free. The question is what you do with your freedom. It's not enough to be a free people. The question is what type of people will we become? And people building is a very long process. And why can't we eat chametz on Pesach? Because not eating chametz on Pesach means, I'm saying we're already there. All there is freedom. All we need to do is emerge from incarceration and from slavery, and then that's it. But that's not a Jewish view. The Jewish view is that freedom is not enough. We have to put meaning into our freedom. And that's why we eat matzah on Pesach and we don't eat chametz on Pesach. To eat chametz on Pesach would mean this is it. So that's what he says. And I'll read his last paragraph. Apparently, redemption is a prolonged, difficult process requiring patience and a great capacity for discomfort. The essence of the festival of Matzot, then, is a severe warning against the illusion of a complete redemption that happens in a single moment. In other words, says Rav Yoel, the reason why we eat this fast food, the reason why we eat chipazon food, why we eat this flat food, is to remind ourselves that, yay, great, we've come out of Egypt. We've had, you know, if you want to have the Hotzeiti v'Tzalti v'Ga'alti v'Lakachti, but we've still got to go 40 years in the Midbar. We've still got to get Eretz Yisrael. Even when we get to Eretz Yisrael, we have to build a society. We have to set up a Malchut. We have to build a Beit HaMikdash. We have to change the world. We have to be Mitaken Olam b'Malchut Shaddai. We have so much to do, and there's so far to go. And if we felt that Yitzhak Mitzrayim, yes, of course, we say Dayenu, we came out of Egypt. That's great, but we've got a long further to go. So let's try and summarize, because our time is coming to a close. What I suggested was that I want to try and sort of probe this notion of matzah as this fast food. And I first established the fact that really even Pesach, the notion of leaping, indicates there's speed. And matzah is the fast food, and we eat it b'chipazon, and it's speedy. Our first approach was very functional, the Ibn Ezra. We have to get it in before midnight, because otherwise God won't save us. Almost as if to say, we're going to mark ourselves, we're going to eat the Korban Pesach. And that's how we're going to, and that's one approach. Approach to the Tzidkat HaTzadik, it's about us. If we don't seize the moment, if we don't grab the window of opportunity, carpe diem, we will never get out of Egypt, because Egypt's too comfortable. We're too used to Egypt. It's very difficult to extricate yourself from a comfortable situation. Approach number three was I try to say that there's something about the matzah, which is not just fast, and not just seizing a window of opportunity, but is also premature. There's something which about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which says that we're not quite ready. And I tried to develop that with the Sfat Emet to say, yes, indeed, we weren't ready. No one's ready. And the reason why we're not ready is because indeed Hashem redeemed us, but we didn't redeem ourselves. And what follows the process of divine redemption is that we have to undergo our own process of growing. And this led me straight into Rav Yoel ben Nun, where Rav Yoel ben Nun says that chametz represents a fulfilled process, matzah represents the inception of a process, or a process in mid-flow. And the reason why we do count the Omer is because we're celebrating. We have a chag at the beginning, which celebrates our beginnings, and that's the matzah chag. We have a celebration at the end, Shavuot, which represents a certain degree of becoming, because there we make the covenant with God, and then we get the Torah. And in between, we're counting up, we're growing. And that's why we look at the Omer as a time of growth, right? And in that time, the bread, so to speak, is rising. And therefore, the matzah doesn't just become a sign of speed. It doesn't become at the time of seizing the opportunity. It's not a notion of prematureness. It's a notion of recognizing that you are at the beginning of the long and winding road which leads through the Midbar and to Eretz Israel and will end up in Yemot HaMashiach. You know, we have this sense of Eliyahu HaNavi, of an anticipation of B'nissan Nigalu, B'nissan Atidim Higael. To a certain degree, we are still on that path from matzah to chametz. We're still on the path of national realization. And when we eat the matzah, we're saying, yes, we are redeemed, but we still have a long way to go and much more to build. So on that notion, I will just say, Chag Kasher V'Sameach. This is going to be one of the more strange Pesachs of our lives. We're going to be having very intimate sedarim in a lot of cases without parents and grandparents. But I hope we will still manage to make it joyous. I hope we will still manage to really have a meaningful seder. We should, or sedarim if you are in Chutz La'aretz, and we'll try and pour a lot of energy, a lot of Torah, a lot of creativity into it all. And please God, we will indeed experience some element of geula. Hopefully the mashchit, which Balin Gof, not in Mitzrayim, but in our world at the moment, will be held at bay. And indeed, we will experience Geula, the pendulum going back in the reverse direction, starting with this Nisan. And hopefully, we will get back to normality as soon as we can. Chag HaShavuot Sameach. Thank you for tuning in to all of the students from this year, from all past students. It's great to see everybody, and thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good Pesach.
Thank you.